You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Well, I'll tell you, this third Goon movie didn't come out at all while I was expecting. Maybe it was The Goon instead of Goon. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, one of you guys did your research. This movie, Random Acts of Violence, was directed by Jay Baruchel, the only the second film he's directed. The previous one, which he also co-wrote with his co-writer on this film, Jesse Chalbet, was Goon 2, Last of the Enforcers, which, by the way, isn't all that great. Goon 1 is terrific, which he did in fact co-write. But yes, that was my obscure joke that just bottomed out completely because I expect everyone to know that Jay Baruchel directed Goon 2. What am I doing? I gotta find a different job.
I still think that this the most terrifying Jay Baruchel film is She's Out of My League, but that's just me.
Oh, that's a bad fucking
dude, but Baruchel has a lot of experience in film. People forget because he's just so small. You're like, that guy? I know I've seen him in stuff. And you're like, yeah, he has worked with some of the greatest directors alive. You know? You're like, holy shit. I mean, he's worked with so many big name actors. He's done a lot. Not the least of which I'm sure he pays for making movies like this because he's been the lead voice actor in all the Train Your Dragon films. I was kind of surprised in this movie that he does, in fact, play a supporting role in that he's kind of barely in it. Like, even when he's there, he's not really there. You're like, oh, you guys do know you the biggest star in your film is sitting right there and you gave him almost no dialogue, right? But Random Acts of Violence is an adaptation of a comic book that I was kind of surprised I knew absolutely nothing about because it's by two pretty big name people in the industry, Jamie Palmiotti and Justin Gray, both of which have written, if you look at their Wikipedia pages, they've written drawn a ton of stuff for the big guys, but they've since both gone and started doing things with third party. Jimmy Palmiotti has about something like 10 films in the works and various different degrees of stuff, some of which he's working on screenplay stuff, some of the which is based on his own properties. I think this is the first live action film that's adapted from one of his works, a one shot by the same name. He apparently was very happy to get Jay Baruchel to come on and direct this because Jay is a hardcore horror fan and a hardcore comic book fan. So it seems like a potentially good mix after all that. But is it? We have questions to ask and answers to give. I'm Chris, and joining me is Nathan.
Hola.
Ryan.
How's it going?
And to no one's surprise at all, Adrian.
What's up, Chris? The answer is yes. Yes, yes, it worked.
I'll be curious because I have heard very many mixed reports on not necessarily whether this worked, but how you felt about it.
Yeah, on the whole, I feel like it worked. It's one of those movies I feel like I'm definitely going to have to rewatch to see whether or not I liked it as much all the way through, knowing how the ending worked.
Yeah.
And this isn't like some invitation to be like, hey, let's get into spoiler talk, because no, we don't need to do any of that.
Sure, no.
It's so fucking gnarly, it's grisly, it's so fucking nihilistic all the way through, and a lot of the makeup effects are incredible. The acting is, for the most part, kind of eh.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think Jordana Brewster knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you there. I think just as a whole, if you were just to go through the entire cast, they're just, they're mostly passable.
I think Jesse Williams does a good job at acting with his eyes. Yeah. Not so much speaking, but man, he's got some fierce eyes that work in the scenes that they're supposed to.
Well, it's funny. I'm only really a fan of Jesse Williams because I didn't know that he was even a real person, because he was like the model for Detroit Becoming Human, which is the best game of that series of games. I was like, wow, I really like this. And this guy, he's cool. He's like got these really great, like blue, like stare into your soul eyes, and turns out that's pretty much exactly what he actually looks like. But yes, he plays the lead character here of Todd, who is a comic book writer, creator of a book called Slasher Man, and his publisher Ezra, played by Jay Baruchel, they took this real life killer, not really real life killer, but in the context of the movie Slasher Man, and said, hey, let's write like this comic. And there's some confusion of, is this a tribute to this character? Is it an exploration of this character? Like Jesse or Todd tends to have slightly different answers based on who he's talking to, but they decide they're going to drive across the country along with Todd's girlfriend, played by Jordana Brewster, Kathy, because she is actually writing a book about, now what is she writing a book about? Do you guys remember something about
the victims of the same killer? But really highlighting the victims as opposed to following the killer's perspective.
Right. And so he's like, well, you know what? I can't come up with an ending for this book. And we're getting to the last issue here. And I need to figure out exactly the right way to end it. Well, the problem is that the actual killer that they're based on has been reading this comic book and decides that I am going to help him with his ending. And of course, they end up following a trail of bodies, or rather a trail of bodies is kind of following them as they continue their trip, try to escape from Slasher Man and figure out what his reason is for doing what he's doing. Okay, so there's nothing wildly complicated about trying to guess where this is going, I don't think, in terms of plotting. But what this wants to do is be more about creating a visceral reaction in you while it asks some very pertinent questions. What are the consequences of violent art? Now, obviously, people have asked this question in, I think, a very irresponsible way over many decades. Let's not forget the very recent Republican calling out of violent video games. And does that have effect on our culture? There isn't a really good answer for that, unfortunately. I wish there was a solid, straight answer you could give. But this specifically deals with violence against women. And I think it does ask some questions. It doesn't answer them, though.
I was kind of surprised getting into this movie because, one, I completely forgot that Jay Baruchel had directed another movie, and I was thinking like, oh, this is his first film. That's pretty cool. And I had no idea that it was a graphic novel. It actually was based on a comic book. And that kind of changes my perspective on it. But for what it was, I'll say it starts up very stylish. It has some kind of not the best, but in a good way, animation that's CG. And it also has like a really well done intro sequence and intro theme that it kind of makes you think this is going to be a edge of your seats throw ride. This is not. This is an unpleasant movie. Not in a bad way, but it's definitely not a fun slasher. This is making me feel kind of bad type slasher.
And I guess that's my, I guess that was my like problem with it. I did, there are a lot of things that I feel like I could appreciate about it. Like stylistically, I thought it was great. Like a lot of like amazing lighting and like set design. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of these ideas were very, they just felt very surface level to me. And I think that at the end of the film, I just kind of felt like they kind of created what they were criticizing in. I feel like it does kind of take a stance and saying like, you should not creating. I felt like they sort of took a stance saying like creating art that is overly violent against women is inherently bad and you shouldn't do it. Like I didn't really think it was that gray of an area there. And I don't know. And I think they kind of established that at the beginning and it just kind of stays that way. And I don't think by the end anything has really changed. That's just how I felt about it.
There's definitely a history of, and not a lot of them, but films trying to express their point by committing that actual thing. Mm-hmm. A Natural Born Killers is a great example of a movie that's all about how media and culture celebrating violence and mayhem is what causes some degree of violence and mayhem. And then, of course, Natural Born Killers itself inspired multiple serial killers, ironically enough. But I don't know if that invalidates the point of doing it, but I do see that it confuses it.
Yeah, I'll agree to a point. I felt like it did a solid job at showing how all of these very, like, serial killer glorifying films and television shows, often on Netflix, sort of have a negative impact in the way that actual serial killers think and how human beings think about it. And I'm not sure whether it truly nailed what it was trying to say, but I appreciated that it said it, if that makes sense.
It does. I think, unlike Natural Born Killers, which was at deed point so disturbing when it first came out that it was hard to take it, it also was alternately so beautiful or funny that you were just totally in love with it. At least I was. This film is kind of has picked a level and stays there, and strangely is really in love with the colors green and pink. I have no idea what that's about.
Yeah, the moon was green.
Yeah, there's a filter on almost every shot that's either green or pink, like really green or pink. I was like, what is going on with that?
I mean, I could see that maybe it's trying to look like the really kind of dark colored panels of a graphic novel like this. Yeah. I mean, it kind of looks like the animation at times in terms of lighting and coloring. But aside from that, I'm assuming that's what they were trying to do.
It reminded me of what they do in the Creepshow movies or the show, which is more sense with that EC Comics type thing where it's like, oh, it's supposed to be garish and pull you out of it. And here I'm like, is that really the effect you want to create?
Yeah, I'd have to see the actual art style of the comic book.
Yeah, I have not.
Yeah, I felt like the visual style, well, arresting at times, and the sound design even being also arresting, sort of made it feel over the top that it kept me at a distance with the film. I feel like at its best, it could have sort of had that real visceral feeling that you get from, like, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, with how grisly and how much... It's kind of humorless, this movie.
Yeah, and I think there's one specific scene that I did feel like kind of captured that. It was I think one of the first like big like murder scenes that take place, and like the score kind of cuts out, and there's been a lot of like booming synth music, I feel like, before that, and it just kind of cuts out completely. And during this like extremely brutal scene, pretty early on, I think you guys might know which one I'm talking about, but. I thought that was effective because it did feel it felt more real, and I kind of wish there was more of that, because like especially the climax just feels to me like it just completely just indulged in the genre and was like, okay, we're just gonna go totally all out with this. It's gonna be like classical music, just absolute insanity, which was kind of enjoyable in a weird way, but also I don't know if it really worked for their message.
It was kind of like, hey guys, pick a lane.
Yeah,
I almost feel like, I think it was Nathan who was saying that, like, if they had picked the Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer path, where this should feel, if you took away all those things, the way they're doing the music and the way they're doing the lighting, you end up with a kind of that type of grim film, because it is relatively humorless outside of the editing and lighting tricks that they're doing. It's very dark. It's not the most violent thing you've ever seen, but implied violence in it is incredibly grim. And there are some genuinely really gory sequences in here that in and of itself are conceived of in such a disturbing fashion. Part of it is the way you get to know some of these characters and the way they meet their ends is very disturbing. And then at the end, it really did just have that sort of like, I was going, you know how this is about a guy looking for the ending to his comic book? I was like, keep looking.
Yeah, and it just kind of like in the end, like there's also this other scene in the climax where I just feel like it gets a little too villain explaining like the meaning of what's going on, and that I was not crazy about that, even though like there were a lot of things before that moment that I actually did think were impactful and kind of disturbed me at least. It's right. Like especially that scene in the church and the way that it was, that was a terrifyingly lit church. That was horrific. But like especially that, like there was a lot before that, like kind of, I felt like it was a little bit of over explanation, but I did think some of it was effective, but like, I agree, Chris, like I feel like it was like a, you know, pick a lane situation.
Yeah. It's like they were trying with the editing aesthetics to make you think of comics, but nothing else in it had that feel until the end, where it totally felt like kind of a silly comic book like device to wrap things up.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there.
As well, I kept going, you guys could so easily give the flavor of something like The Hitcher.
Oh, fuck. I love The Hitcher. Sorry. Gotta gush about that movie. That movie's so fucking good.
I've never seen the remake, so I cannot speak to that. I'm going to presume it's not as good. But the original was great and had one of the most truly disturbing deaths in any film ever, that you don't actually see any gore from whatsoever, but just knowing what happened and who it happened to and how unexpected it was completely made that movie one of the scariest movies of the time when it came out. And this, despite how grim it is, I never felt scared by this at all or scared for these characters.
Yeah, and that's because I think they were just so, for the most part, besides for Kathy, the Jordana Brewster's character, I thought Jesse Williams as Todd, it was kind of unlikable and just kind of had one. He just only cared about his ending and this like extremely gory comic that he was making. And it just didn't seem like there's really any change in his character. Like maybe there is at the end that you could argue that's implied, but I don't know. Like I think that maybe there wasn't, and not that there necessarily has to be like a major change in a character for it to be good. But I just feel like there wasn't a whole lot of conflict there. And yeah. And I think for like a horror movie to be effective, you have to like feel for the characters and care when things happen to them, and I just didn't at all. It was more just like I was watching like a philosophical exercise in a slasher horror movie.
To agree, I was surprised when this premiered at Fantastic Fest how, and I don't think across the board, but the actual written critics who wrote the reviews, because I remember people talking about this and going, it was all right. But a lot of the written reviews were glowing about this movie. And I was like, really? Because most of the people I talked to in person were not thoroughly taken with this. And now I see that I'm one of the people who wouldn't have been thoroughly taken with this. But not to say this is terrible. It's not. A lot of work and effort and thought was clearly put into this. But I think maybe Baruchel was trying to take on a bit more subtext than this material called for. And I think these two things juxtaposed versus each other definitely made it feel like they didn't belong together. But let's go to final thoughts. Nathan, why don't you get us started?
I think it worked more often than it didn't. It had something to say. And I think what it had to say was very valid. I think that the visual style and the overall sort of cheesy slasher movie atmosphere that it gives sort of has diminishing returns on its actual message. But I kind of dug it. Like it's a film that I'm definitely going to revisit because I feel like I might like it more on a rewatch. Plus, I also watched this at like 2 a.m., but also I'm up at that time anyways. The performances across the board were mostly kind of besides Jordana Brewster, who played a pretty fucking great character in it. 6 out of 10 organs wrapped around like tinsel around a Christmas tree.
Well, I mean, was that weird for you? How do you celebrate Christmas, Ryan?
Honestly, I agree in a lot of ways. Like, I do think that it was a really admirable, like, first attempt at horror from Jay Baruchel. And I don't know about you guys. I would definitely be down to watch, like, another horror film from him. I'm definitely, I think there were enough interesting things that he did as a director that would draw me to something new that he may work on. I think it did not work for me as much as it did. I think it was kind of the opposite for me in a little bit. I think like from a production standpoint, like the set design, a lot of the makeup was just like insanely good. Same thing with the cinematography. I really liked that a lot, but I just think that it felt like it was trying to say more than it actually was at the end of the day, and that it was a little more surface level than I would have liked it to be. And I think that if it would have just pulled back on a lot of the explanation, like the very obvious explanation of some of the themes, I think that it probably would have sat a little bit better with me. And I think I would give it 5.5 terrifyingly lit churches out of 10.
Adrian.
This feels like another movie in this influx of horror analyzing if killing is art. It's kind of reminiscent of the house that Jack built, but I feel like this didn't make its points the way that the house that Jack built did, and the way that other movies like it did. But it's still a pretty good, and I would say very effective, horror movie. I felt uncomfortable. I did not like the kills because they're not fun. They're not well put together. They're very vicious and rough. And overall, as Nathan said, it really feels like a very nihilistic film, but that's not really a bad thing. It got under my skin the way I would like a horror movie to do. Pretty good performances. I'm glad Jay Baruchel wasn't really annoying like he was in Goon. So that was that. And it's nice to see Jordana Brewster in something that's not a Fast and Furious movie. So good for her for being in something kind of rough. I dig it. I would recommend it. And I would give it 3.5 scrumptious Christmas dinners out of 5.
I both admire Baruchel for some of the stuff he's trying and have to say it didn't work. This is a huge step up from Goon 2, which I saw and was very disappointed with. I think most people were after Goon, which was one of those, wow, no one saw that coming. Sean William Scott sports comedy being as good as it was. And Goon 2, of course, is just basically trying to recapture the formula successfully and not succeeding. This at least is trying a lot of, if not new stuff, then differently wrapped. It's the Taco Bell of movies. Taking the same ingredients and...
Oh, I resent that. Taco Bell is a 3 out of 5. Wait, 3 out of 10, sorry.
The worst thing about this movie is that it's... And it's not even a bad thing per se, but it's incredibly hard to watch. It's unpleasant to watch. And they're trying to make it unpleasant to watch. And there's never really a point that it turns a corner and becomes rewarding for sitting through all that unpleasantness. At the end, I just felt like someone was lecturing to me, and at the end just kind of stumbled over the words because they weren't exactly sure what their point was all along. It's okay. I definitely want to see what Baruchel does next. He's proven he's definitely a director who takes his work very seriously and wants to do stuff that is craft and not just, hey, I'm doing this for a paycheck. And I really admire this, but it's the guy's second film and second low budget film at that. So kind of feel like it cut him a little slack, but still, I'm going to have to give this 5.5 out of 10 body triptychs. Which was cool. I'll tell you one thing though, I would totally get like the Hollywood collectibles of that particular thing from this movie.
Oh, not a Funko Pop?
I would kind of like to see what a Funko Pop of three bodies sewn together after death looks like.
Just wait for the Hannibal Funko Pop series.
Way cuter than you'd want it to be.